Welcome to the Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and joining me today is Jenny, who is our PAT expert naturopath based in Auckland, New Zealand. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jess.
We're part of Health and Wellness Australia in Auckland, who are a team of naturopaths around Australia and New Zealand that specialise in a natural allergy treatment called Positive Association Technique, or PAT for short. Now, we've mentioned PAT in a few of our episodes now. So for our last episode of the year, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. Jenny is going to share her experience using this technique with clients over the years. So to start us off, what is PAT?
So PAT is a natural allergy treatment performed by qualified naturopaths that helps to relieve the symptoms of allergies, sensitivities, and intolerances using a combination of muscle testing and acupressure techniques.
And how long have you been performing PAT?
Well, so it's actually almost been 20 years since I first started PAT, which is crazy to think. Wow. So I started seeing clients in the Sydney clinic in 2004, and then I helped open the Auckland clinic when I moved back here in 2007. So since then, I've been working back in the Auckland clinic on and off when I've had my kids, and now I train and mentor the PAT practitioners all over Australia and in Auckland.
Yeah. And what are some of the common symptoms that you would see in clinic that can be addressed with PAT?
So we see a really wide range of clients of all ages with a really wide variety of symptoms that are triggered by reactions to certain foods and environmental substances. So, you know, there's that classic allergy symptoms associated with conditions like seasonal hay fever, asthma, and atopic eczema, as well as digestive symptoms associated with IBS. But we also see symptoms that aren't typically associated with allergies, including headaches, brain fog, and fatigue. So for an example, a memorable case of mine was a client who was getting really debilitating headaches, and they knew that they were triggered by certain foods like red wine, chocolate, and cheese. So once I explained that all of these foods are high in a naturally occurring food chemical called amines, it just all made sense for them, and we could start addressing that for her.
So when you say allergies, sensitivities, and intolerances, could you explain the difference between them?
Sure. So firstly, we view all these adverse reactions, whether they are present as allergies, intolerances, or sensitivities, as errors that can be corrected. So when there's this error, the body has an inappropriate reaction to a harmless substance, which can trigger a variety of symptoms. For example, when you get an upset tummy for a specific food, or you sneeze when exposed to dust. I kind of see it like the immune system has placed this big red flag on these substances. And so whenever you come in contact with them, then there's an immune response that happens. It's kind of like a big, like a big immune reaction that will show up and then cause these symptoms. And so technically, allergies only involve the immune system, specifically immunoglobulins and antibodies that are produced by the immune system as a way to protect us from what it thinks is a harmless substance, which is also, you know, known as an allergen. So the most basic way to distinguish between true allergies and sensitivities and intolerances is that allergies are IgE-mediated reactions or an immune response, and sensitivities and tolerances are non-IgE-mediated reactions or chemical reactions. So the RPA allergy unit describes sensitivities and intolerances as reactions to chemicals and foods which irritate the nerve endings in different parts of the body. Although it's important to clarify that the term intolerance can also refer to intolerances due to an enzyme deficiency such as lactose intolerance. And another important distinction between these reactions is that in allergic reactions, they are usually instant or occur at the time of exposure, whereas sensitivities and intolerances, you'll only experience symptoms once you've surpassed an individual tolerance threshold.
I love that red flag analogy. So I guess while there's a lot of technical terms, essentially these are just all adverse reactions to something that's actually harmless. But just to elaborate on this threshold concept, does this explain why some people don't always react in the same way to a certain food, or why they appear to have only symptom flare-ups randomly?
Yeah, and that's actually a really great question. It's also really common, and it's usually caused by underlying food intolerances. So an easy way to think of this is we all have a bucket that slowly fills up each time that we eat something that we react to, until eventually that bucket will overflow and we experience a flare up in symptoms. So that means sometimes we can eat certain foods without any reactions because the bucket isn't full yet, or we haven't reached that threshold to tip into a reaction. Whereas other times it can cause a big flare-up as it's already at that point where it's nearly filled and about to sort of tip over. So this can make it appear like flare-ups are happening randomly without realizing it's actually below the surface and it's just building. So, and sometimes this can take 3 to 4 days before you get to that point where that bucket is full or you've got to that threshold. And this can happen, especially when there's multiple food reactions.
Yeah, so that explains why these reactions are just so difficult to pinpoint. So how do you actually go about testing for these reactions as part of a PAT session?
So we use a form of muscle response testing, which is known as kinesiology, which assesses reactions to a wide range of food, airborne and chemical substances. So muscle testing is based on the premise that when your body is exposed to a substance that causes you stress, your muscles will weaken slightly, which we can pick up with our muscle testing technique. So you're lying down on a table and we get you to hold a sample vial of the substance that you are testing a reaction to. So you press your arm down on the table, and when you resist your pressure, we're looking to feel if the muscle has weakened or remained strong. So it's known as an unlock or a lock. It's much easier to understand that when you're on the table, but hopefully this makes sense. So if your muscles stay strong, that tells us that your body is okay or not stressed by the substance. Whereas if your muscle weakens and we're able to lift your arm, that tells us that your body is having some sort of reaction to the substance. And this is actually something that you can feel for yourself when you come do the testing. And it surprises a lot of clients because they suddenly their arm is weak and they're like, whoa, what did you do?
Yeah, I definitely remember the first time I had muscle testing done and I just couldn't believe the difference and how it felt. It was really, yeah, really significant. Could you also explain how we work with babies and children?
Yeah, so, you know, since babies and young children don't quite have those motor skills to participate in muscle testing, we actually use one of the parents as a surrogate muscle trainer instead. So how this works is it's like a circuit. So the parent is one end of the circuit and the child is the other. So they have to have skin-on-skin contacts. It's usually by holding hands or, you know, if it's a baby, put your tummy, hand on their tummy. And then the child holds the substance vial. Like with babies, we actually put them in their socks or their booties so that they've got that skin-on-skin contact with the vial. And so this skin-to-skin contact creates an electrical circuit of sorts. So the parent is one end of that circuit and the child is the other. So I don't know if anybody out there has ever been near an electric fence, but if you touch an electric fence and then you touch somebody else, that electric current will go through you and you will actually give that person a shock. So when we're doing the muscle testing, we're using the parent's arm, but we're actually finding out what's happening for the baby or the child. So not their stuff, it's their stuff because they're touching the vial. It's just that the parent is then touching the child and you get the circuit. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that also makes more sense in person as well. Hard to explain.
Totally.
So we do see a lot of clients who've already undergone skin prick testing or RAS testing before coming to see us, and many of them report that those tests didn't show up with many reactions or to substances that they know that they have these reactions to. So how does muscle testing compare to other types of allergy testing?
Right. So, well, first and foremost, muscle testing can't diagnose an allergy. We simply use it to assess whether there's a reaction to a substance and also won't give us an indication of the severity. So basically your body is testing weak to something, so it's having a reaction. So it's also a good time to mention that we don't test for substances that are known to cause anaphylactic reaction because obviously we don't want that to happen. And so in saying that, the clinical relevance of skin prick tests and RAS tests, it's also limited because they're only checking for allergic reactions that involve the immune system, not those other things like the intolerances and the sensitivities. So they can get missed potentially. So they don't involve the immune system. So we can pick all of these things up, which just means that it's we basically find those things. And often, you know, you'll have a patient who's like, oh my goodness, I knew that I reacted to that. And so for them, it's a confirmation, actually, that this is, you know, we're on to the right thing. And so since muscle testing helps to pick up all these reactions, regardless of the origin, it gives us a clearer picture of which substances may be contributing to our client's symptoms, and it helps us to guide their treatment plan.
Yeah, and as sometimes these intolerances and sensitivities may be quite mild on their own, but when you have a few of them working together, they can contribute to quite significant symptoms. So when it comes to actually addressing these reactions, how does positive association technique, or PAT, actually work?
Right. So we spoke previously about the concept of allergies, sensitivities and intolerances, and they're due to a body reacting in error to an otherwise harmless substance. PAT uses positive conditioning effects to help correct this erroneous response and alleviate the symptoms associated with the response. So a classic example of positive conditioning is the case of Pavlov's dog. So this is a really old study that was done. And in this experiment, a professor, he rang a bell every time he fed his dogs until the pairing of the food and the bell eventually became so well established that the dogs would salivate without the sound of the bell alone. So it conditioned them to be like, oh, food's going to happen when I hear that sound. So during a positive association technique treatment, we use a chiropractic tool called an AcuStim. What this does is it stimulates the acupressure points in the nerve bundles and the vagus nerve that lie along either side of the spine while you're holding onto a sample of this trigger substance. So this stimulation relaxes the body, and it's thought to have a strengthening effect on the organ systems. So the body then makes the association between the exposure and the positive effects of the stimulation, which helps to retrain this previous erroneous response that was causing this. It's pretty cool. So, and essentially what you're doing is you're taking off that red flag of that substance so that the body no longer reacts to it.
Yeah, so I think of it as it's kind of just bringing the body back into balance. It was having this erroneous response before, and now it's having a more reasonable response that we've told it to calm down, basically. So now that we've covered how it all works, what should a client expect in their initial PAT consultation, that first visit?
Right. So the initial consultation takes about an hour because we as naturopaths like to get a really detailed symptom history. And I kind of feel like sometimes we're detectives, kind of finding out, you know, when things started, how long they had it, you know, all of those sorts of things. And then we will muscle test through a range of different foods and food components, airborne and chemical substances, depending on what things that they react to. And that gives us a clear picture of which substances may be contributing to their symptoms. So then we'll address one substance group at a time as part of that first session. And then we can look at a treatment plan. And the reason why we only do one substance group at a time is that's to allow the body to integrate this before we move on to the next, sort of like peeling off the onion. Because if you do too many at once, it's going to confuse the immune system, and it's just not going to work as effectively. So we have to be really specific.
Yeah, take it step by step. Yeah. How do you decide what to treat first?
So it's really common for clients to get like really overwhelmed when they see this long list of all these things they're reacting to, but we don't have to do all of these. So what we do is we look at the biggest substance groups first, which can often clear reactions to individual foods. So the best example of this is there's these very big common food chemical intolerances called salicylates, amines, and glutamates. And so these are they're present in a lot of foods, and they often are involved in many of the symptoms and conditions that we see in the clinic. So these are the most common substances that we address. And if you think of back to that bucket analogy, like if it's in lots and lots of foods, then that threshold or that point where that bucket goes up and goes into a symptom can be a lot quicker because they're in so many foods. So for example, tomatoes or strawberries are really, really high in salicylates. People sometimes think, oh, I didn't realize I was reacting to all these other things. And so it can actually be an eye opener for people. And also once you clear that, then the immune system is stronger. So we also have certain protocols in place that help us determine the order of treatments. For example, if We need to address sugars before dairy or gluten or wheat, as there are sugars in those. This is like lactose, which is milk sugar, and then there's maltose, which is wheat sugar. So, you know, we have to do the sugar before we can get to the other things, because they're like the building blocks to many of these food groups. And also, you don't always know what symptoms a substance is actually causing until you clear it. So, for example, addressing pollen or for hay fever may also help improve someone's digestive symptoms or skin reactions, because this load is taken off the immune system, allowing it to focus on other parts of the body. I've got this analogy that I think of with the immune system. Like, so say you have a lot of sensitivities and are reacting to a lot of things. It's like your immune system is this really busy workplace that is understaffed, and it can't get to all of these things. And like all of these jobs that need to get done are just piling up, and it's overwhelming the business or the immune system. So every time that you clear one of these reactions, it just means that there's one less job that the immune system has to do. So therefore, it can concentrate on the really important things until you get to this point where there's not that backlog of work, and then everything's just humming along nicely.
Yeah, that's a really good point to make, because we actually see that quite often when you say, when you address something for one symptom and then you end up getting improvements, which seems like an unrelated symptom. So how often would you recommend that a client comes in for sessions, and how many sessions does an average client need?
Yeah, so in an ideal world, we'd usually suggest clients come to appointments weekly or fortnightly, as this gives us a chance to sort of see a shift in the symptoms before moving on to the next substance group. But we also see lots of clients who travel to attend our clinics, especially here in New Zealand, because we just have the one clinic at the moment in Auckland. So we have people flying from all over New Zealand to come up. So you can do 2 sessions in one day and 6 sessions a week for adults. When you have 2 sessions, you've got to allow a 2-hour gap between them. So often people will go off and do some shopping or something, and then they can come back. So they can make a day of it. And the average number of sessions across the board is about 5. But this really depends on the individual and how many substances are contributing to their symptoms, as each substance group needs to be addressed separately. So sometimes it can be more, sometimes it's only a few things. It just really does depend on the person. And also it depends on the complexity of their symptoms. For example, a client who is experiencing skin rashes, seasonal hay fever and digestive issues is going to need a combination of food and airborne substances addressed, compared to someone who only gets hay fever during spring. They may just need to get the pollens and the grasses done. So, you know, it really does, if you have multiple reactions to different types of things, then it will take longer.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, and how long do the treatments last?
So again, this depends on the individual, but it can vary anywhere from several months right up through to over 15 years. So we just need to take into consideration that when you've been susceptible to developing these reactions, you know, in the first place, so there is a chance that they may reappear in the future. But in saying that, most clients do get long-term relief from their symptoms. But, I mean, my personal experience with nearly one of my first treatments ever was for cats. And I grew up being super allergic to cats, like really like itchy, scratchy eyes and sneezing. And just, I really did not actually like cats. And then just as I was learning this treatment, in the flat that I was living in, a stray cat came and just started hanging out. And I was like, oh my God, I'm reacting and this is really horrible. And so I actually told my trainer. And so she treated me for cats. And so I went home and I patted the cat and like nothing happened. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then I went to, my friend's house who has 2 cats, and I put my face in the cat. I'm not kidding you. And nothing happened. And for me, that was such a massive shift of like, wow, this is such an amazing treatment, because it worked so well for me. And now I have 2 cats and 2 bunnies, and I have not reacted to either any of them since. Yeah, and that was nearly 20 years ago.
Yeah, definitely. That's really, really cool. So are there any limitations to PAT?
Yeah, so you can't address intolerances that are due to an enzyme deficiency, such as like a lactose intolerance or celiac disease. We also don't treat anaphylactic allergies and autoimmune diseases. So although we can still work with clients who have these conditions, we're just we address the other reactions, which can help relieve the pressure on their already overwhelmed immune system. So, you know, we're taking away those reactions to those substances so the body, you know, like that busy workplace can to focus on other areas.
Just taking the pressure off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does PAT compare to other allergy treatment options?
So we see lots of clients who have been reliant on antihistamines for years. And because of this, they can often stop working or they need really, really high doses because they've built up a tolerance. So that's a problem, obviously, for them. And then there's also allergen immunotherapy. But this process can take years to treat a single allergen, and it's really expensive. Plus, it's needles generally. So it's not definitely not for everyone. So it's worth keeping an open mind, as PAT is a great natural option to try, as because it's non-invasive, it's pain-free, it's great for kids and adults alike, and actually it's quite cost-effective when you compare it to these other treatment options.
Yeah, so, well, thanks for chatting with me today, Jenny. It was really great to hear about your insights and experience using this very special technique. So if there are any listeners out there who are struggling with these kind of symptoms and do want to inquire or potentially book in for a PAT session, we do have clinics located all over Australia as well as in Auckland, New Zealand. So you can find out some more information and even book online via our website, which is naturalallergytreatment.com.au. Otherwise, we do have some really exciting episodes planned for the new year, so please be sure to subscribe to our channel. But yeah, otherwise, thanks for today, Jenny.
Oh, thank you, Jess. Always great to talk.
Yeah, no worries.